Violence will not bring change. It'll only bring destruction.
The battle for the U.S. presidency focuses on racial tension and associated violence. This is Wednesday, September 2nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also coming your way, Japan is trying to identify who the country's next leader should be. Hong Kong is battling a resurgence of COVID-19 with free testing for everyone, but it's controversial. And Australia says it's contacted one of its high-profile citizens being detained in China. It is all on today's VOA Asia. Racial tensions in America have taken center stage in the U.S. presidential campaign following deadly confrontations between Black Lives Matter protesters and white supporters of President Donald Trump. VOA's Brian Patton reports how the president over the weekend responded to the protest with a strong law and order message, while his Democratic rival, Joe Biden, Monday criticized Trump for recklessly encouraging violence.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden on Monday blamed President Trump for deadly violence over the weekend after Trump supporters in Portland, Oregon, clashed with racial equality advocates.
He may believe mouthing the words law and order makes him strong, but his failure to call on his own supporters to stop acting as an armed militia in this country shows how weak he is.
On Saturday in Portland, one person was shot and killed following confrontations between a caravan of Trump supporters, some of them armed, and Black Lives Matter demonstrators who have held nightly protests for the last 3 months. The shooting victim in Portland was affiliated with a conservative activist group called Patriot Prayer. President Trump called the counter-protesters in Portland who support him great patriots on Twitter Sunday. Last week in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a Trump supporter shot 3 people, 2 fatally, during protests that erupted there after a Black man was shot in the back 7 times during a confrontation with police. At the Republican National Convention, President Trump denounced racial equality demonstrators as anarchists and criticized Democrats for condoning violence committed by these groups to maintain support from African American voters.
If the Democrat Party wants to stand with anarchists, agitators, rioters, looters, and flag burners, that is up to them. But I, as your president, will not be a part of it.
Biden on Monday strongly denounced any violence committed by supporters or opponents.
It's lawlessness, plain and simple. And those who do it should be prosecuted. Violence will not bring change. It'll only bring destruction.
President Trump is planning to visit Kenosha this week, even though Wisconsin's Democratic Governor Tony Evers urged him not to come, saying in a letter, "Your presence will only delay our work to overcome division." Portland's Democratic Mayor Ted Wheeler also criticized Trump for allegedly fomenting hate and division in the country. Trump called Wheeler a fool on Twitter for not calling in the National Guard to restore order. Biden has tried to make Trump's inability to contain the coronavirus pandemic the primary campaign issue. It is unclear whether Trump's law and order focus will change the dynamics of the race, but polls now show Biden's lead over Trump shrinking in key swing states like Michigan and Pennsylvania. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. As Afghan violence continues, the U.S. calls for peace talks without delay. India accuses China of fresh provocative actions at its mountain border. Thailand's new finance minister resigns amid economic crisis. Myanmar blocks an activist website saying it spreads fake news. And the Philippines says it will not stop projects with China firms blacklisted by the United States. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. We continue on VOA Asia. Japan's top government spokesman, Yoshihide Suga, has won the backing of the ruling party's largest faction to become the country's next leader. Reuters' Gloria Tso reports.
Japan's top government spokesman Yoshihide Suga is now a strong frontrunner to become the country's next leader after Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced last Friday that he would resign due to health issues. It was first reported on Tuesday that Suga has now won the backing of the ruling party's largest faction. Suga is Japan's chief cabinet secretary and Abe's longtime lieutenant, and he is widely expected to continue the policy course set out by Abe, including the Abenomics strategy aimed at reviving the economy and keeping it afloat during the global health crisis. Suga has not yet publicly announced his candidacy for leader of the Liberal Democratic Party, but a source tells Reuters he has indicated privately that he intends to run, and media reports said he would formally announce his intention to run on Wednesday. Party Secretary General Toshihiro Nakai said LDP executives agreed to a simplified vote by party MPs from both chambers of parliament and heads of local chapters. That's despite younger LDP legislators presenting a demand for a wider full-scale vote on Monday. The party is expected to hold its leadership vote on September 14th. The party's leader will almost certainly become prime minister because of its majority in the lower house of parliament.
Reuters, Gloria Tso. Happening now in Asia, China accused the United States Tuesday of using national security concerns as an excuse to act against Chinese firms. It happened in a response that followed days after the Pentagon listed 11 more Chinese firms as being owned or controlled by the military. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We continue on VOA Asia. Hong Kong began free coronavirus testing for all residents in the Asian financial hub Tuesday as the mainland Chinese-led initiative faced skepticism from the city's medical community and public, with some activists urging a boycott. Reporter Rhea Mogul in Hong Kong spoke with VOA Steve Miller about the program.
Hong Kong has been going through its third wave of COVID infections. We've done actually, you know, pretty well in keeping the number of infections at bay, you know, considering that we are about 1,000 kilometers from Wuhan, which was the sort of epicenter of the outbreak and where everything happened. But in over the past maybe 2-3 months, we've experienced a pretty, you know, horrific third wave for Hong Kong standards, where we saw, you know, triple digit infections per day. So for those reasons, the government have decided to implement this voluntary mass testing scheme. So the goal is to ultimately test, I guess, all 7.5 million Hong Kong residents. And, you know, we've seen similar schemes implemented in other countries, South Korea, for example.
Speaking of South Korea, one of the most iconic pictures during their mass testing was, of course, the drive-through process, which they pioneered. That's not something that exactly can happen in Hong Kong. So what's the plan to get these tests conducted?
Right. So there are, it's not a drive-through test like South Korea, but there are several centers dispersed across the city, and people have to sign up online. I imagine based on their district. So they'll go to the one closest to them and just show up and get tested. And today was the first day that it's happened. And from all the news reports and from all the firsthand accounts that I've seen so far, it's pretty smooth sailing for everyone that has voluntarily signed up to go get tested. You have to queue in line, you know, be socially distant. And most people have been out of testing centers in minutes. But a reason for this, I guess, is because not many people have signed up. Since registrations began, only a fraction of Hong Kong people, about 7%, have signed up to get tested voluntarily.
I understand that registration is still open, so the government is hoping that more people will take advantage of this testing. But I also understand there's a lot of concern about how the personal data will be used.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the Hong Kong government have involved and asked for help from a number of mainland Chinese firms and doctors to help with this mass testing. And this has led to a lot of fears of harvesting of data and DNA of Hong Kong people, you know, as Beijing continues to crack down on calls for democracy reform in Hong Kong. In fact, an alliance of healthcare workers, district councillors, pro-democracy activists, including Joshua Wong, they've all urged Hong Kong citizens to boycott the testing completely. You know, LegCo elections were also supposed to be held just in 5 days on September 6th. And that's been postponed for at least a year. And people are very angry that, well, you've got these mass testing sites and people are going to gather in the thousands, but you've canceled elections whereby people could have gone to cast their vote.
Reporter Rhea Mogul speaking with VOA's Steve Miller.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. The Malaysian government has announced that long-term pass holders who are citizens of India, Indonesia, and the Philippines will be barred from entering the country effective September 7th. Officials say that decision was made after considering the surge in the number of COVID-19 cases within the three countries. This is VOA Asia. This is Business Scene. I'm Ira Melman. A park in Tokyo, Japan has added two new public restrooms that feature transparent walls. The restrooms remain see-through until people enter. Then the walls turn opaque once the doors are closed. Award-winning Japanese architect Shigeru Ban is the designer of the unique toilets. The goal of the project was to make them accessible to anyone regardless of age, gender, or disability. The outer walls of the toilets have a layer of glass that remain clear when hooked up to an electric current. But when the door is locked, the current is cut, and a special film makes the glass opaque to conceal the user. Cecilia Lopez, a travel blogger from Argentina, was very interested in the design.
Maybe I feel a little anxious the first time, like, will this work? Is somebody, like, in the glass trying to look inside or something? But yeah, I think it's more for the fun of it, like to really feel comfortable inside.
Kanasaji, a member of the social innovation team of the Nippon Foundation, explained the reasoning for the design.
When designing this, there are two concerns when using Tokyo toilets. First is whether it's clean inside, and second, if there's anyone hiding inside. So if you can confirm both of those, it will be safe.
Amid the pandemic, 50-year-old Hong Kong costume designer and actor Edmund Cook has not slowed down his creative process with the designs of his custom masks. The masks started gaining attention on his social media platforms, with each piece displaying dramatic and playful faces on face masks. The masks are made to represent current issues occurring in the world, not for daily use. A mask using a takeout container represents the harm to the environment the pandemic is causing.
I think every piece of art is originated from our daily lives. A lot of things in my life have inspired me to make these face masks. Take the coronavirus as an example. I've seen a lot of pictures of this virus, and it has a lot of spikes. It happened that I had some materials from my cuttings which looked similar, and so I created this face mask.
Most of the masks were made without the use of special materials. Cook only used ordinary household objects and leftover costume designs.
I really want to document different things that happen in our lives. I think this project is not only about the face masks that I've made, they're Hong Kong people's face masks, which record what happened to us.
Cook hopes that one day the mask will provide a reminder of what Hong Kong has been through amid the pandemic. For Business Scene, I'm Ira Melman.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Can the coronavirus survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you're sick or advised to by local authorities. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
You're listening to VOA Asia. For the residents along Indonesia's Sisidane River, the coronavirus has brought not just deadly disease, but also a deluge of medical waste, a constant stream of syringes, face masks, and hazmat suits floating by. Libby Hogan reports.
Dirty syringes, used masks, and gloves are among the waste streaming into the Sisidane River in Indonesia's city of Tangerang. Medical waste has been piling high since the first cases of coronavirus in the country. Then, in May, the walls of a landfill beside the river collapsed, sending tons of garbage cascading into the river, doubling the threat for those downstream, families who bathe and wash their clothes in the river. It's triggering fears that the coronavirus could spread as the country still struggles to contain it. 39-year-old Ashri Dewayani is trying to keep her children away from the water. I worry about the kids getting infected with COVID-19 when they swim here. I'm anxious. That's why I always forbid my children from swimming in the river. Indonesia has the highest COVID-19 death toll in Southeast Asia. And like many countries, it's also got a huge increase in medical waste. The Ministry of Health has admitted the country lacked treatment facilities and said it was trying to find a solution. Aid Yunus, founder of Sisidane River Rubbish Bank, is working with volunteers to organise a clean-up.
We are concerned about the sustainability of this river. We don't want it polluted with any waste, including industrial waste, which is dangerous, especially during this pandemic.
The health ministry said that up to 1,500 tons of COVID-19 medical waste was produced across the country each day from March until June.
That was Reuters' Libby Hogan reporting. This is VOA Asia. Australian officials say they have spoken with a high-profile Australian television news anchor who has been detained in China. Cheng Li, an Australian citizen, has worked for the Chinese government's English news service, CGTN. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports Cheng's detention in Beijing is seen as another blow to already fragile Australia-China relations.
Cheng Li is being held under what's known in China as residential surveillance at a designated location. The TV presenter hasn't been charged, but she can be detained for up to 6 months without access to a lawyer. Cheng has worked as an on-air anchor and reporter for the China Global Television Network, or CGTN, for the past 8 years. Videos featuring the high-profile journalist have been removed from the channel's online platforms and social media pages. Australia was officially notified of her arrest in the middle of August. A statement from Foreign Minister Maurice Payne in Canberra said diplomats were allowed to speak to her last week via video link. Trade Minister Simon Birmingham says the government will do what it can to help her.
I feel for her family very much at this point in time, and it's why we will do what we can to assist her as we would and have any Australian in these sorts of circumstances. There is a long history of different consular cases and points of difficulty that we've seen over the years, so we shouldn't see this as a first or a one-off. It's concerning for her family, and we will provide the assistance that we can.
It is highly unusual for foreign journalists to be detained in China. Friends of Cheng Li have told Australian media that she was a very skillful operator who knew where the limits on public comment were in China's highly monitored media. It's unclear what she might have done to upset Chinese authorities or break any laws. Cheng was born in China and is an Australian citizen. She is the second Australian to be detained in Beijing. Writer Yang Hengjun is being investigated over alleged espionage and has been held since early 2019. In July, Canberra updated its information for Australians travelling to China, warning they could be at risk of arbitrary detention. Diplomatic tensions between Canberra and Beijing have also been inflamed by disputes over trade, as well as allegations of Chinese interference in Australia's domestic politics and cyber espionage. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Thousands of public pools throughout the United States are still closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. That is one reason why business is booming for the creators of an app that allows people to rent out their private pools for a few hours. The app is called Swimply, and its founder says business has soared 2,500% since June. Moxie Moskalkov has the story.
Missy Jenkins is carefully cleaning the yard with disinfectants, taking fallen leaves out of the water and readjusting lounge chair pillows. The resident in Alexandria, Virginia is one of over 7,000 Americans who are renting out their private pool during the summer months.
I signed up Friday, almost 2 weeks ago. I got approved by midday, and it booked up the next day almost entirely. And then every day after that, it continued to book. And then when the reviews started coming in, and all of them so far have been five-star reviews, very nice reviews, then it started to book up pretty solidly.
Jenkins has been booking renters through an app called Swimply, a platform similar to Airbnb. Jenkins currently works in healthcare. Renting out her pool helps her earn some extra money, enough, she says, to pay the mortgage and cover the pool maintenance.
But it's been fun, frankly. I've met a couple of really cool folks.
Swimply was founded in 2018 by two New Yorkers, Bunim Laskin and Asher Weinberger.
We went into Google Earth, we looked for big blue splotches from the sky, we knocked on 80 doors, and we got kicked out of 76 of them, but we got four homes to sign up. We built a website for $500, put these four pools on the platform, and within weeks, we had thousands of strangers swimming in strangers' pools.
But businesses on Swimply really soared after the COVID-19 pandemic and closure of many public pools. Up by over 2,500%, says Weinberger.
On the host side of things, we have hosts who are reaching out to us every day saying, hey, I lost my job, right? And, you guys are helping me pay for not just my pool, but my entire mortgage, right? That's very rewarding. And then on the swimmer side, people are trapped at home. They're working from home, no school, no camp. Public venues are closed. Where are you making your six-year-old's birthday party, right?
The price varies from $15 to $300 an hour, depending on the size, type, and location of the pool. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
You are listening to VOA Asia. With the coronavirus outbreak, people worldwide have become preoccupied with a threat so physically small that it can't be seen. The invisible world of viruses has long fascinated multimedia artist Laura Splann, who is artist in residence at a biotech lab researching COVID-19. Matt Dibble takes a closer look.
From a distance, they appear to be doilies, the lacy handiwork used to protect furniture in past centuries.
When you look closer, you realize there's something just a little bit off. The doilies reveal themselves to be camouflage for the more deadly viruses lurking in the pattern of each form.
Since the coronavirus outbreak, most of us have been forced to consider a realm beyond our senses, the realm of microbes. It's a world that artist Laura Splann has visited frequently in her work.
There is extreme beauty in the form of these viruses, but there's also a lot of fear that we're certainly experiencing right now with COVID-19.
Splann studied biology before becoming an artist working at the intersection of science, technology, and culture. A series on proper handwashing techniques exhibited at the CDC Museum in 2011 explored our complicated connection with microbes.
They're floating all around us, but they're also part of us. I was interested in letting the viewer consider a different relationship to these microbes.
As artist in residence at Integral Molecular, Splann explores the workings of a biotech lab researching COVID-19 antibodies, including the software used to model viruses.
I'm really interested in seeing how I can leverage this software to do something that hasn't been done with it before.
She shares her work with researchers.
They actually kind of see these images that they take for granted every day in a new way.
And for the rest of us, Splann hopes her animations can provide a brief respite from the pandemic that has consumed the world's attention. For VOA News, Matt Dibble, San Francisco.
Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, which includes Jim Stevenson, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Please stay healthy and enjoy the day ahead.